Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title really fast.
Peter Gajewski, Music Director of the National Philharmonic.
And this...
I should say, Music Director and Conductor of the National Philharmonic.
Of course, Maestro himself. And this Sunday, the Philharmonic will be presenting a cool show called Music That Travels Through Space at Sunday at 2 p.m. Hey, thanks for joining us, Peter.
Thank you, Jason.
All right. So tell me, before we get to the show itself, it's a series you do every 2 weeks on Sundays at 2 p.m.?
That's exactly right. So for this current season, we are not able to play in front of any live audiences, but we are presenting concerts online and on the WETA TV station here in Washington every other Sunday at 2 p.m.
Awesome. And so since it is a virtual event, it's something that was filmed at the amp. Like how was that actually done? I'm sure you have a camera crew in there and you guys are distanced a certain amount, you know, explain how it was actually filmed.
Right. So our orchestra concerts are filmed at the concert hall, the Music Center at Strathmore. The chamber music concerts, which this is one of, are filmed at the amp at Strathmore.
Gotcha. And do you know how, you know, were all the people in there at the same time? Were they socially distanced or were they recorded separately, individually, or how does that even work?
Yeah, so we are following all the guidelines and definitely socially distancing. Our musicians actually wear masks when they play these concerts, with the exception of wind players who cannot. And then they are even more distanced. So we're taking all the precautions and we've been doing really well with that during the current season. That's basically how it happens, but they're TV productions. So it's, you know, it's easy to do that and make that happen. But when they play music, they are in the same room in this case.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So tell me about sort of the concept here, music that travels through space. I mean, when I think of like 2001: A Space Odyssey, I think of those old classical orchestral stuff, but what's the idea behind this show?
So the idea behind the show, which is curated by our concertmaster, Laura Colgate, is a relationship between music and space, nighttime, and composers throughout history have been fascinated with kind of the nighttime and musical representation of nighttime and the stars and the planets and so forth. And this is a collaboration with NASA, where they're providing some really fantastic imagery, which is going to accompany this music. And the music are all works, really short works, chamber works, you know, it's ranging, I don't know, 3 to 6 minutes. So I guess there's one slightly longer one that are either inspired by night or try to portray the stillness of the night, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Do you run through some of the compositions, the pieces that you're going to be playing? I mean, I know I see them listed here on the website, but let's have you say it so I can actually use the sound.
Sure, absolutely. First of all, let me talk a little bit about the musicians. So the musicians are really fantastic artists. Most of them members of the National Philharmonic, and some of them regular collaborators with the National Philharmonic. They'll be performing works by 7 different composers, 3 of them living composers. The living ones are kind of especially interesting. One of them, Alistair Coleman, is local, who I raise up as perhaps the most promising composer of his young generation. His name is Alistair Coleman. He went to Walt Whitman High School. He is now a student at the Curtis Institute. And for those not really familiar with what that is, so for us musicians, the Curtis Institute is like the pinnacle of a school that you can study at. It is a completely free ride, full scholarship, and incredibly elite. Should I put you to a guess how many composers you think they might accept every year?
I'm gonna go $1, Bob. One.
Yeah, that's wow. It. Alistair was the one guy accepted the wow. year the year that he applied. So that's Alistair. He writes very interesting music, and the piece of his that they'll be performing is called "Acquainted with the Night," which is for trumpet and piano. Featuring our principal trumpet player, Chris Gecker, and the pianist, Elizabeth Hill. In fact, they just recorded this piece, so actually it's now available. It's now available on CD. But it's "Acquainted with the Night," if people say, wait a second, I heard that somewhere. So that's a Walt Whitman poem. So there's a little bit of a Walt Whitman connection there. This poem inspired this work. The other two pieces by living composers are, interestingly enough, by Boston-based composers. One of them is by Argentinian-Israeli-American composer, now based in Boston, Osvaldo Golijov. And the title of the piece is Tenebrae, which I guess in Latin means, I want to say, darkness? Yeah. So that's a piece that in this version for a string quartet that's kind of evocative of stillness and darkness. A very, very interesting piece of music. And then I mentioned one other composer, Boston composer, and that's Carson Kuman. The composition of his that they'll be performing is entitled Moon Marked. And it's actually, interestingly enough, it's a duet for clarinet and trumpet. So it's kind of an interesting combination, just those two instruments. And that piece is also on the CD that I mentioned before. In fact, the name of the CD is Moonmarked, and includes those two pieces. And then I'll be playing several other pieces from mostly around the turn of the century by composers, really interesting composers, several women composers, French composer Lily Boulanger, play a piece, Nocturne, for violin and piano, and a German composer, Louise Adolphe Lebeau, sounds French, but she's really German. Okay. And she wrote some pieces for viola and piano, and this is one of them, and it's entitled Nachtstück, which basically means a night piece or a nocturne.
I like that.
and then filling out the program, just a couple more works, one by Mexican composer Manuel Ponce, a very, very, very famous piece of his, Estrellita, means little star. It's like his most famous piece, arranged for every kind of ensemble. In this case, it'll be just violin and piano. And then by Claude Debussy, Bonsoir, which is, I want to say, beautiful evening. You speak French, Jason?
No. So pardon my lack of French.
Pardon what?
Pardon my lack of French.
Oh, pardon your lack of French. Beautiful night. Beautiful night, bonsoir. Soir is really evening. Okay, I think I was right. Anyway, it's usually translated as beautiful night. And that's, you know, everybody knows the piece by Debussy, Clair de Lune. So it's a little bit like that, but it's for cello and piano in this case.
Awesome. Sounds like a varied lineup. What is it, just generally speaking, what is it about space that is so rich for this? Is it, you know, just the idea of the unknown, the mystery of it, or the majesty of it? Of, you know, why do you think space is such a ripe topic?
I think there's so many connections. One of them is that music doesn't exist but for the fact that it travels through space. Or it really needs a conduit. It really needs, I guess, the atmosphere here on Earth. Waves need to travel through space. I think you put your finger on it when you use the word majesty. Music can be very majestic. It can also represent kind of stillness that nighttime, and also a mystery. You know, you'll notice that all of this music that that I just mentioned doesn't have any singers, it doesn't have any words. So it's all what we call pure music. And no one really understands why we find that music combinations of sounds attractive or interesting enough to pay attention to. And it's so there's a, you know, there's a mysticism and a mystery to it that's akin to looking up at the sky and trying to figure out what's out there.
Right, right. Perfectly said. Definitely some juicy sound bites I can use there. So thank you. I teed it up and you knocked it out of the park. All right, cool. So where does the Philharmonic stand in terms of, you know, your season? I know, you know, when we spoke a couple months ago, you were hoping maybe to come back maybe spring, summer, but things are looking like it's going to be a while. So what's the general plan?
Well, actually, no. We planned this whole season from the very beginning as a season with no audience. So we actually made the call as early as last March and April that we will be playing all of our concerts online or on TV, but with no audiences whatsoever. So in that way, we're feeling very vindicated with that early decision, that because we were able to pivot and program in a way that makes our concerts possible. So for the time being, we are looking forward to more chamber music concerts. And we also did some small orchestra concerts early in the season, October, November, December. We may actually offer them again in encore presentations. And we have a few more planned looking into the future, especially in April, May, maybe we'll even go into June. And then our hope is indeed that beginning next fall, we will be back on, maybe not immediately to full capacity, but certainly going in that direction, you know, September, October, November. By 2022, we will hopefully be all back to what we used to do. However, you know, this whole experience has been very much a learning experience, and we've pivoted in many ways because of the pandemic. One is this online presence that we now have in a very, very large way. I mean, some of our concerts have been watched live online by I think upwards of 2,000 people, which was kind of mind-boggling to me. I thought it would be like 150 people because there's just so much going on, and I think. And then, of course, TV presence as well. And I think going forward, that's something that we will want to continue on some level, because reaching people, especially reaching people who, for whatever reason, can't go to a concert hall, whether they're elderly or somehow inhibited. This is something. A new audience that we are finding, that's a very important audience to reach with music. So I think having learned what we're learning this year, we will want to hang on to that. We're also the second way that we've pivoted is in terms of looking for more relevance in what we do, and by that I mean responding to the. To the equity issues that have been brought to the fore in the past year. So, you know, looking at the music we play now, we're playing a lot more music of people of color, a lot more music composed by women, and we're really kind of looking to be more inclusive and make a difference and be more relevant to the larger sector of the population than we have been in the past. So it was a good period for us of self-examination.
Yeah, that's some good stuff came out of it, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks so much for doing this. As far as I'm concerned, let's do it every 2 weeks and promote whatever show you're doing. So
hey man, I will absolutely take you up on it.